Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. It's that time of the evening that we look at business, we look at economics and everything that affect our bread and butter. And we are here from the hour of 1800 hours until 1900 hours. And this is a platform. This is your time with me, David Chumbi. And we'll start with what is happening on an international platform before we go into the conversation for today. There is breaking news to say Iranian security chief Rarijani reported to have been killed. And this was announced by the Israel Minister of Defense. And if this happened to be true, it's one of the blow, especially to Iranian, not only defense, but also regime, because he is, or he was not only the chief of Security Council, but he was an influential figure, especially looking at the war which is between Iran, Israel, and the United States of America. The possibility is likely to be true. But we still have to see what Iran is going to say, especially regarding the overnight attack which have happened. And seems like a continuation of war. You know, it's not stopping soon. And if they are coming even closer to the security chief or the secretary for the Supreme Security Council, you realize to say, it's going to be very difficult moving ahead, especially looking at that ground. And everybody is looking at what is the future? What is the future of Iran? What is the future of Israel? What is the future of, you know, the Middle East? And that should be the concern, not only for you and me, but the concern of everybody, especially on the development. Yeah, moving forward, it is stated that the oil price increased with 3%, especially the global oil price, not here. It stated that, you know, the oil price jumped about 3% on Tuesday after renewed Iran attack on United Arab Emirates. And it bring about fear, especially when the Strait of Hormuz continued to be shut, especially during the ongoing you know, fight between countries in the Middle East. And stated that Brent crude future rose by $3.27 and also $3.3 to $103.48 a barrel, while in US West Texas Intermediate gained 3.4% to $96 per barrel. You realize to say the war is in the Middle East, the price is increasing in the USA, in the Middle East, in Africa, and other parts of the world. Because when it comes to the supply of fuel, gas, and also other source of energy, Russia is saying it's very cautious and is only selling based on condition. That's why you really see that the economy of the world is really impacted, but you know, with what is going on. So what is that we have today? What do we have on the table today? What are we going to discuss today, especially in the 17th of March 2026? The content of the matter today, we look at academia, we look at academic flexibility. What is the importance of academic flexibility, and also what can we learn when we speak about academic flexibility? One of the things that you need to put in mind is that the world has gone through a lot of changes. Academic institutions are transforming their curriculum every day, every year, And there is continuation of emerging of new fields, new specializations are needed, and there is also emergence of faster way, easier way of doing things, particularly in the using of robotics, in the using of AI, and also in the using of machine learning. At the center of that, one must be able also to ask a question, especially regarding academic flexibility, to say, when we speak about academic flexibility, when you speak about flexibility in terms of content and also context of qualifications and also areas of specialization, particularly that happen in academia, what is the necessity of that? And how can we prepare Namibians, especially in the emerging industry, particularly through academic flexibility, and what can be done in order to imply and also implement academic flexibility, especially when you are at the point where you have thousands and thousands of graduates who are trained in different areas of specialization, but they are not being able to be absorbed by the market due to the fact that they still mismatch, they still coherence, they still an element of not only about integrating them into the system, but an element of linkage, an element of retraining and upskilling those who do not have, right and needed skills at that moment. Now, next month, thousands and thousands of graduates will graduate from various institutions, either private or state institutions. The market continue to be flooded, and the question should always be, what will happen to those who graduated 10 years ago, to those who graduated 6 years ago, to those who graduated last year, especially those who are not able to get themselves into the system? And is academic flexibility going to be the way, especially when you look at broadening of the perspectives, broadening of qualifications, and also having various ways of integrating different skills into academic qualifications, so that they will be able to allow the students not only to survive, but the student also to be able to take a different route in a situation where the field of study that a person loves so much, that the person has studied, was not able to absorb this person. When the field of study becomes so flooded, when the field of study is not able to take anymore, or when the person realizes that there is an opportunity to connect the qualification with experience and skills and be able to thrive and do well. Because it's not only about bringing bread and butter on the table, but it's also about expanding the quality of education that we are giving. And in terms of where we want to get into, I always like giving an example of NDP 6 and also Vision 2030. If you ask yourself a question to say, in terms of where we want to get into, do we have now a statistics? Do we have now numbers that are indicating, are telling you to say, this is a number of professionals that we have trained. This is a number of professionals that are absorbed. This is a number of professionals that are enrolled, and this is the intake for first year. And if we still do not have the statistics, I think it's high time now that we don't only do upgrading when we have completed diploma certificate, but we do upgrading and we transform the curriculum to that extent that there is flexibility, to that extent that somebody who studied education, majoring in physics and mathematics, can be able to work in the industry of oil and gas when the situation allows. When somebody who studied engineering can be able to go to the boardroom and make decision. And we must also give an example and also learn from what other countries are doing. And we must learn also a good lesson, especially learning from the banking sector, the financial sector. I always like giving an example of the financial sector. Although the financial sector may look very small in terms of absorption of all the professionals in Namibia, one of the things that they did very well is not about looking at the qualifications, but looking at solution to problems. That is where you find somebody who did catering, working in the bank, but not as a caterer. Somebody who did engineering, working in the bank, any financial sector. somebody who did microbiology. These are things that we have seen, you know, with our own eyes, especially when you speak about academic flexibility and allow students, allow, you know, academicians to learn beyond their field of studies, so that one way or the other, they can still utilize the knowledge that they know. They can still tap into the education that they get, but in a completely different field, but applying the skills that they get from the sector. So we are here until the hour of 1900 hours. Stay tuned. Yeah, we are continuing with business and economic segment, and you need to ask yourself a question. To say, for example, why one of the most expensive qualification in the world, particularly to top universities, an MBA? Why do you think one of the most or the top qualifications in the world is an MBA? It's Masters of Business Administration, especially when you go to business school, when you go to Harvard, when you go to MIT, when you go to Oxford, you realize to say even when scholarships are being given, exception is given to MBA. Why do you think it's like that? Because one of the things that made MBA, you know, a flexible, reliable, and a qualification that can allow a person to thrive from one field to another is the ability to instill skills, is the ability also to put skills together, not only in terms of a specific field, not only in terms of business, but also in terms of critical thinking. When you look at MBA, then you compare it with the Future of Jobs report by World Economic Forum in the past 3 or 5 years, you realize to say most of the MBA, how they have been, they've been not teaching people really the structure of how business is operating, even though that is part of the content. What people have been taught is about critical thinking. What they have been taught is about planning. What they have been taught is about thinking on top of their heads, and also making sure that they act very fast, especially in terms of solutions, you know, to critical problems. That's why it has always been asked, particularly to those executive positions, particularly to those who get top positions. And you don't need a doctorate in chemical engineering to run an industry for oil and gas. You need an MBA and other qualifications too, because that is an area of critical thinking, it's an area of planning, and it's also an area of communicating with different people and different stakeholders. Now, in the world of people are being known because of what they have studied, not because of what we can do, then it also become problematic, especially in Namibia, where qualification come as a first, but not really about testing a person. There are a lot of tests, apart from psychometric tests, there are a lot of tests that are being given, especially if you want to work for bigger international companies such as Facebook, Google, and many others. One of them is that it's test of skills, not of qualifications. You park your qualification at the door. When you enter there, you are being told, you are being questioned on your ability to solve problems. You are being questioned on your ability to deal with people. You are being questioned on how you can deal with pain. And that is what we call emotional intelligence. Now, if we are still in a country where the prediction are saying, and this is a general a prediction that it has been given to say we have around 15,000 young people who studied education, but they are not able to be integrated into the market. Now, whether that statistics is low or up, the content of the matter is that you have a crisis, especially with the continuation of educating people in the same field that they expect to get direct jobs from that. And it affects everybody. It affects all of us. But you must be able to find a way to say, what is that you can be able to do? Now the question is that, whose responsibility is that? Whose responsibility is that? You know, we have been studying IT, computer science, software engineering, you know, electrical engineering. But when you look at the pace which the world is moving, and how we are following. You realize that, you realize, and also to understand that we are a bit far, we are not catching up. When the first world is moving into the third corner, we are still at the first corner. When you go to the third corner, they are at the ninth corner. That's why it's very difficult for us to catch up. And the better way to catch up is not looking at the market first. It's looking at the predictability of the market. Because currently as we are speaking, it is undeniable that there is future in oil and gas and also in the climate sector. But ask yourself a question to say, how many environmental scientists do we have in Namibia? Not environmental graduate, environmental scientists we have in Namibia. How many experts of water do we have in Namibia? How many experts in chemical engineering do we have in Namibia? How many experts in oil and gas? The question is not about what you can be able to do. The question is that are you willing to learn? The question is that is the institution going able to predict the future? Because somebody got very angry when I spoke about there was a study which was done to say some, you know, students got scholarship and go outside to study for the future of jobs in Namibia. However, when they come back, because of not really good calculation, they come at home and ask a question to say, why did you send me out of the country for 2 years? Then I come back with my postgraduate qualification, but then employment is not granted. Then you realize to say, even though they were trained to become expert in those fields, they were not trained to be flexible within the field of studies that they have studied. Had we known these things to say, if you are a teacher, you can still work in a supermarket, then you become a best education officer or a best marketing person, because you already have skills of engagement with people. You have already skills that you learn from the foundation of education and all these psychological related modules, then you can be able to be flexible. Have we known that if you are a nurse by qualification or by training, does not stop you to go to the field of IT or to go to the field of finance? Does not stop you. If you are a medical doctor, it does not stop you to go to the field of engineering. But it depends on what you are going to do there. Why are we speaking about academic flexibility? We are speaking about academic flexibility because we are standing with a problem that did not find a solution yet. Economists have agreed to say, when you look into 2030 and look at things that we do, we are not looking like we are ready for 2030. We may have an intention. We may sit every day and discussing about the future, but we are not looking like we are ready. We are not looking like we are ready because the problem that is standing is not addressed. The problem of policy coherence, the problems of having a clear plan, the problem of having a clear plan on what you need to do. Because ask yourself a question, the issue of, for example, youth unemployment, which is a main issue in Namibia, is not yet addressed. There is no clear plan. There is money being invested in that sector, but there is no a strategy on how to address that. At the other time, Feni Tuchavi.
Hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I wonder why it's called a hot dog. I can eat them day or night. Let's squeeze some tomato sauce on this bad boy and enjoy. Ah, no! Now I've got tomato sauce on my dog, my watch, and my favorite shirt.
Sometimes you just squeeze too hard, and your favorite shirt gets ruined. But luckily, with Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
There's that. Yeah, the other time, Feni Tuchavi was asking. The other time, Feni Tuchavi was asking regarding the report of, you know, when she asked the Minister of Finance to produce a report about the youth fund, to say we are given, and the government was really generous to give the young people 257 million on the table. But there's one who will also be able to ask a question to say, it's actually not a good thing when you get the statistics. But you want to ask a question to say, who back up these statistics? Is it the prediction or is it promises? Because I want to ask you a question. Go and read the budget appropriation bill. Go and look at what has been stated and ask, repeat what the young parliamentarian have asked to say. Where is that report which is tracing that there is progress which is done? Do we see visibilities of those businesses? Have we brought those businesses of our young people closer to business people who have been in the field for them to be mentored? Or is just putting money on the problem? When we made sure that our education system is the number one investment in the country, did we look at the solution to the problem? When we make free education free, or when we make tertiary education subsidized, what is that you are going to get from that? Because there is investment, process, and the output. Are we able to predict the output of the investment in education? If you are not able to do that, then we must really speak about initiatives on what we need to do. And one of them is teaching additional skills, not only for survival, but from moving from one point to another point. You will be impressed to see, if you look at the US, you look at Japan, you look at Germany, you look at South Africa too, you will find somebody who studied a different field. See, the former head of Standard Bank Africa is coming from a completely different field from finance, although there are commonalities in terms of the skills that they get, particularly legal fraternity. But this person managed not only to outsmart, but managed to transfer the skills because the environment wanted him. Then he became a good banker. But what are we doing in Namibia? Education, nursing, engineering. If you are not able to do that, you are not able to fit anywhere. Not really because people do not want to fit, because we are not taught that we can go beyond the obvious. We are not taught that there are transferable skills that I can use from my qualification as somebody who studied agriculture, not only for me to become a farmer, not only for me to become an agricultural scientist, but for me to make sure that I transfer those skills, that particularly the non-technical skills, to do completely different things. How are we going to build industries if we cannot be able to innovate? And I like, there is really a very beautiful project by the Ministry of Information and Communication that I have seen. Then I ask myself, why this did not start for a very long time? I see innovation coming from that ministry, especially with the project of transferring technical skills to tangible outcomes, especially training those who are in the field of tech, to make sure that you are not only being able to make money in Namibia, but if you study computer science, you can also be able to make money outside the country. If you are tech savvy, you can be able to make money all over the world. But the question should always be to say, at what pace? How many are they going to be accommodated into that space? And why can't universities and institutions use such a kind of initiative? That is what you call innovation. Because if you continue repeating and repeating the same thing over and over, believe me, you, we are not going anywhere. And the future is looking at us, is waiting for us. The question is that, are we being taught flexibility? Is the curriculum which was changed in 2020 is able to cope with the system? People are speaking about drones. Drones are not only being used for taking pictures, videos, and war. They are also some form of transformation. Where are we in that space as Namibians? Where are we in that space? Where are we in the space of digital genetic engineering? Where are we in that space? And in terms of flexibility and innovation of our young people, what can we do differently? Especially if we find ourselves in a situation where the situation is very tough, the Namibian economy cannot absorb us, all of us. That has been... is a guarantee. There is still no clear plan. There is a plan, I understand there is a plan. There is still no clear plan. You can argue with me that there is a clear plan on addressing youth unemployment in Namibia, but I'm telling you that there is still no clear plan on how we are going to address. There is attempt, but what is defeating us is data. What is defeating us is clear reporting. What is continue to defeating us is MNE. We speak about MNE. But up to now, if you want to put the test of, if you want to put a national developmental plan at the test, ask yourself a question to say, where are the data in terms of progress? Who is delaying those data? You look at investment in Namibian education for the past 20 years. Was the outcome of investment in Namibia tertiary education over the past 5 years? Is the outcome of that investment tangible or being seen? If that outcome is tangible, why do you still have a majority of the educated people outside the market? What can you do about those who did not make it in, those who did not make it in, you know, entering the job market? Because we still see engineers where we stay. We still see lawyers. We still see economists, business administration, business managers. I mean, in terms of qualification, plumbers and all this qualification. But then the question is that they may have skills. Are they all thinking the same? There might be those who are creative enough, maybe natural creativity or curiosity, or have seen something different. But can you blame those who are not able to blend in? If out of 2,000 graduate, 100 of them, or maybe let me say 80 of them decided to start their own business, and 40 of them become successful, then live within the zone of SME for the next 10 years. Are you going to blame others who did not study? I mean, who did not start what they were supposed to, who did not start the business? The question should be, is the institution that I went to, and we should ask ourselves this question, you wouldn't be unappreciative about the education that you got, but you should be critical enough to realize that yes, we are thankful, we got assistance. Some of us, we become first people to go to tertiary education at a certain level. And you should also continue asking to say, for this institution to assist other people who are coming after, what can be done differently? For us not only to blame young people to be in the street, but to find a solvable mechanism on fighting this poverty, building this economy which is below 3% in terms of growth, and also reaching 500,000 jobs, and maybe expanding in monitoring and evaluation. What can we do, especially at the tertiary level? So, dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. For Namibian to operate in business, we need to think beyond the obvious. We need to relook at the institutions that are producing graduates, and we also need to study the field and also what the world is saying and what the future is looking like, particularly in the world of unpredictability. So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 1900 hours. Yeah, we are moving forward with business and economic segment, especially when you are looking at the future of Namibia.
First need fertilizer to grow maize.
We are looking at the future of the country, and also to look at what is that few things that we need to change. What are those few things that we need to do, especially when we are speaking about academic education, and also the future of jobs and training that we give to our students, and also the people who are going to hold the Namibian economy. And one of the news which is coming through. So now that Joseph Kent, who's the head of UN National Counterterrorism Center, resigned over the US-Israel war in Iran. And he's one of the most powerful security individual in the U.S. arsenal. And he indicated that he resigned, particularly due to the debate of war. And also looking at, what is happening in the Middle East. He realized that there are opponents within the U.S. administration, especially when it comes to the war in the Middle East. And when you look at the response of Europe, you look at European Union Commission, it's like they also changed their point. Look at France, look at Spain, you look at Germany. It's like they don't want to get into, especially when it comes to the Middle East. And everybody want the war in the Middle East to come to an end, because it's not fun anymore. Even those who did their investment, they're also not finding it good, because it's self-destructory, and it does not showing any stability, especially when it comes to the bombing of Iran and also its neighbors. And also to say Iran bombing its neighbor is also not a good thing, because some of our investments are also there. And we find ourselves also bankrupt, because if you are only pressing and saying no, who must release the Fatah too, whether it's Iran, or who must release Tomahawk, it's not going to be fun anymore. But that is what is happening, especially in the global flood. And coming to Namibia, we are in 2026. We are in March 2026. And if we have to go back, especially, let me just take you to 2019. Then you take everybody's communication, you take the politics of the day in 2019, you look at what has been promised on the table. Take any manifesto, take any political manifesto, any political party, their intention. What is interesting is also that the dangerous part of political opposition is also the impact beyond presidential race. There must also be a very clear plan to say, if you become an opposition, for example, once you did not attain the main seat that you are aiming to get, what other things can you do? Because if you do an assessment of political parties, you realize to say, apart from aiming for power, influence, and also deploying your candidates, either it's local authority, regional authority, at the National Assembly, what other project do you do? You find those who are not doing anything. You find those who have projects. You find those who have investment. Then you also find those who depends only on government. But the...
Ega meno jomau yerele koko marungura, kalishi ashike upsa kathi opa uteknika, oliriwo omkundu opa shigwana, upsa kathi opaliko, no hashivuro oku ya moshipara uhupiro uongeshefa. Oshini momtumba go Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition omvo mao vigaje miongo mbalina khamano, iikondo epangero mahangano opa umwene, uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe, onetamu ithanwa, muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa metete. tekero. Esikuwa mirongo mbali na gali, siko mbali na ganega apiriri, mawavi gali mirongo mbali na hamano. Ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge, Movenduka. Oshiparashi kundathanwa okuanja gane kuyerele kombinga uko shoki wopo ungomba, ano saiba hejin. Kene una oku ironge kithira omashongo koko marungura. No marongo kekopopeko jerongitho jo marungura na irwe inji. Koneka, omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo, mbokata mkatuma a kaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano, otamukapewa ompito yomtugumwe awedho apo. Hasho ashikeshoka, pethimbo jomtumba ogotungoka, otakukakarao VIP Cyber Gala Dinner, nuyere lounji wa maisha angitho no mapurapuro, kwa tatha na nayo, kondoraje tatu imwe, onda tu ya tano, omgoigeali. Nenge ko email, info@dstech.com.na. Nenge, utarele pwe panja jao jopa ungomba, ko www.dstech.com.na. Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition, Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Then you also find those who depends only on government. But the question should always be to say, what is that was promised our young people? And what is happening currently, especially looking forward? And in terms of the conversation for today, to say, what lesson have we learned, especially during COVID-19? COVID-19, which came end of 2019, beginning of 2020, taught us a great lesson. To say, online education is the future. So that's a great lesson to say, if you are not equipped with technological aspect of life, if you do not understand technology, if you don't understand how to use a smartphone and a computer, you will be completely shut out of the world in the near future. You know, I do not even want to mention institutions because I will get into trouble. You find some academic institution, they were completely shut down. They are completely shut down. And you realize to say it's not only about centers of their IT. It's also about those who did not transform themselves. And that's why today we are saying, apart from, especially to students who are in their final year, especially to those also who are going to graduate, you know, in April and also in September and May too, to say, if you ask the students, I was also a student at one point, that is not too long ago. If you ask this student to say, you are now going to be a professional, you are qualified, you got your theories, partially practice, maybe you got an internship here and there. Then the question is that, what will you do in a situation that you don't get a job in the next 6 months? The situation which is most likely, the probability which is very high, to 80%, even 85% of those who are going to graduate in April. The question should always be, what other skills, if you don't get jobs in education, in nursing, in engineering project, in accounting firm, in media, in, you know, art and culture, what other things are you going to do? Then, before you graduate, ask your lecturer a question to say, what flexible, transferable skills can I use from my field? Because those are critical questions that are not only necessary, but they are very important, maybe very important, because they will assist you and they will reduce your stress because they will give you something to do. Ask yourself that question to say, even as parents too, you ask yourself a question to say, what will happen to my child if he or she did not get a job 6 months after graduation? What plan do I have? What is he or she is good at? What transferable skills? Maybe she needs 6 months additional course to upgrade, her skills or his skills. Because those are relevant questions, because if we do not have that personal strategy, we must not forget that the situation is very tough. Even the government is finding it very difficult also. With good intention, we need to assist ourselves without panicking, we need to really assist ourselves to say, what can be done if the situation is not allowing us to do what we have planned to do? It's not the end of the world, but it must be planned ahead of that, especially when you speak about flexibility. And also, if you ask, what Tate Namwandi likes saying, and he likes saying that with confidence to say, you know, he likes indicating to International University of Management graduates, we find them in different fields, NGO, politics, law, science, and all these things. But the very important aspect also that he indicated is that we are not only training job seekers, but we are training people with transferable skills. That is what he likes indicating, and which is very necessary to say. We must also come to the point of realizing to say what we are trying to do, although it's very important, what we are able to do is also necessary. That's why when it comes to the context of today, the question of flexibility should always apply. It can also apply to artisans. You know, we grew up with, you know, very good friends of mine. And when we were growing up, we got to high school. You know, we find those who were very good at science and mathematics. You know, I was also not that bad. I was able to do one or two things. But there is also one thing that there was always a perspective. Say, guys, let's go to this certain vocational institution. After we get that, we go straight to the mine. The dream was very clear. Some went, I think 10 of them went. But out of that 10, I think 2% went to the mine. They did very well. But you also find those who, their strategic objective was only to hit that point. They did not have a backup plan. And they got so stressed when situation did not go according to plan. Because the plan was, get to the vocational training center, study that you know, qualification, and get straight into the mine and make money. That was short-sighted, very clear, but without a very backup plan. You know, what have happened is that it also teach you to grow up very fast, to that extent that you realize to say, in a situation where things do not work, what will you do? Then that is where you bring academic flexibility. When you are at university, when you are at high school, that question should always be there. If you did not pass AS level, what will you do? Because don't do things because of you find yourself in a situation because you will be so disorganized. In a situation that our people that we are training in the various fields are not able to be absorbed in the market, what other additional skills? And I like what the Ministry of Information, Communication and Technology have done. And it's my hope that other ministries should also come up with those initiatives, because it's their job to think beyond the box. It's not only about implementing the project. It's your, you are, because a minister is an advisor and an expert within that field. It's a council. It's like a council in the kingdom to say you advise the king on the direction of the kingdom. In terms of health, you must give counsel. In terms of health, in terms of justice, you must give counsel. But most importantly, it's about bringing unique ideas, especially to our president, because she say, "Don't make me happy." It's not. She's not in the business of being made happy. That's why she stated, "It's not me." The president said, "Don't make me happy. Give me solution to the problems of Namibians." That is what she stated. And I see they really did it. I'm still trying to look at other, to say what other different unique project that we can praise. Because really, it's not correct. And it's very painful to see brilliant unutilized minds. You cannot blame everybody for not being creative. If you are saying all of us, we must create the jobs. Yes, it's good that we create the jobs, all of us. But who is going to work for us? You must understand that point too. But for somebody to work for us, he must be able to be flexible. Have you ever seen a person saying, "No, I did not. I did not study that. I'm only doing that." And a lot of people do not know my story. Me, I'm a trained political scientist, and I find flexibility and I find peace in media. I find peace in people who, you know, identify my skills and say, "No, David, you can do this, and you can research and know how things are being done." It's not only me. It's other people also realize to say, "No, look, situation allow you to be flexible, but it's not only about you. It's not only about you. It's also about other people. Other people also be able to be flexible enough so that they can be able to bring about the bread on the table. They can be able to inspire others and make their families very happy." And I'm telling you, it's going to be chaotic if we don't address this issue. And I don't want it to be chaotic, because the situation... And there is no, and I'm always telling people to say, there is no stressful moment. Né? There are two points in life: is completing grade 12, and also completing a tertiary institution. There is still a traditional way of thinking how education at higher institution came about. There was no areas of flexibility. Those years, somebody did a diploma in public management. You put your qualification there, you are being called to start working in 1 week. Before you're done with your education, BET, you start working. Before they go before they go to grade 12, they start working already as primary school teachers. But currently, as you are speaking, situation become more tougher and tougher. Then a different situation now is telling you that it requires a different strategic move, and that move can only happen if we are flexible enough, if we can resharpen our brains so that we can save and utilize a population of young, energetic, bright people. But they'll not be bright for a long time. If somebody graduated at the age of 23 and started looking for a job for four years, a person become demoralized. A person start having a different view of life. A person start to be very angry to the state, very angry to the private sector, feel isolated. And that should not be the case. That should be, tackled before it become worse. A person become easy to influence, easy to become a victim, and easy to commit a lot of crimes. But that can be avoided only when we are academically flexible, we are career-wise, and we can change from one point to another point, from this field to the another point. But you cannot change from one field to another point without being taught how to think. I don't want to say university did not teach us how to think, but what has always been indicated is that once you start growing up, you start realizing a lot of things that we were standing to pass, then you got interest in the subject, or some people were studying to complete so that they start working. If you ask, if you do a survey, you'll be shocked, you'll be, perplexed and flabbergasted. Especially if you can just do a survey during graduation and ask the content of what people have studied, if they are able to remember it. Because they are programmed to think what will happen next. And if they are programmed to think what will happen next, if that of what they are thinking did not happen, then it's a distraction. Because if, in terms of average, somebody graduated at the age of...
Pogora okuhinga wari kohio dungo peha joku hinga uri kohio dungo pogora okuhinga ondapo jiyuthwa peha joku hinga ondapo ya pitirira pogora okutaguru kira po mataguru kiro peha joku pita owarasha mpoka pogora ishewe okurundura omataera we peha joku kutu pogora okuninga shokasho mojira mo patevetu eto kupita omwenyo
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
If you lost your show, all of Tariko Tungupo. Omawa o tomono okutako NHP. Genge wa longi fire longi foli lipedu lo wawo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku ne fiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku e. Owa washimali wao shosha kupako. Washika wet delwa komto alandula. Kashi, koma punglo ena shano unjolo welewe. Otodulu okulongi fa omawa e. Wa hupuko. Opouna miti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oimali wa ishona. Oyo hodulu okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, omayakulo olu hapu, hakalaina kwa telwa, mouwa we kwa folo elu unamiti. Ile, otojulu no kuli, okupitifapo e mwedi donumba, tokalaino futa eakulo lo elu unamiti. Kowyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Emango nomalandola fwano ododina okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP will about you.
In terms of average, somebody graduated at the age of 24, 25, depends on the circumstances, then started looking for a job for 4 years, 5 years. If ladies, when they reach 30, the time is starting to run out. They want to start families. What will they do? They strategically, economically aligning themselves with a guy with money, but they don't have power and influence because they depend on somebody. Then you realize that some of these things, they also end up contributing to gender-based violence and all other things. That's why today we are saying we must make a plan. We must have a plan as academic institutions. And the question should also be to say, if we are making a plan, what is that will be able to allow us to make such a plan? And in that ground, then we speak about the data. Do we have enough information? Do we have recorded information? Do we do research on what happened post-graduate? That should be the question. Will you not be concerned if you are the professor of economics or professor of trade or professor of law? Then you go to the corridors of the courts. You look on TV. You are not seeing your graduate. Are you not concerned? You must really be concerned. But if you are the professor of theology, then after 5 years, you did not see your student as a pastor or as a theological researcher, but you see him at the corporate sector. Then you understand that you have produced somebody who can be able to change and navigate the test of time. You must be proud. If you are a lecturer of geology, then you find your geologist in the corporate sector. You must be proud. But you will also be more proud if you find your geologist becoming a chief geologist within, the industry, the mining sector. That should really make you proud. But it also depends on what you are teaching these students. But maybe somebody will also speak about the lack of real motivation and role model. People speak about public lecture, and these things should really change, and it must change now. You know, if you are looking at public lecture, and depends on the topic, please, academic institutions must not only look at academia, look at experts in the field. If you are running a business school and you have a public lecture, take a successful business person. He does not need to speak English. He does not need to be good at speaking. Maybe you must look for a translator. He does not need to be a PhD holder. He does not need to be. He must be the person who teaches people the real struggle of Namibia business environment. Because if you had business school, there are only two things. The business school is one of the most respected schools, at university, apart from any others. But let me just take out business school because we are in this field. If you're in a business school, your public lecture, find somebody. Take Kambwa, for example. Take Chico. Take anybody who is in the field of business. A person does not need to be a professor. Take that, John. You don't need a professor. Take them to the public lecture. You will gain more wealth of wisdom from the people in the field than from a theorist. Believe me, your student will appreciate you more because the strategies that you are teaching, you will learn practicality of things from that person. Take somebody who started business and it went down and come back. Take somebody who have been in the field. If you're in the field of engineering, why do you have to invite an engineering professor from Oxford if you have somebody who has been in the field of that engineering? If you have an artisan who have established an engineering center, who have established a site that is producing, materials, that is producing, products, so that you can be able to learn the practicality of things. If you are in the field of law, who is this guy? Take Commissioner Jadira to give a public lecture to these law students. You don't need a professor of law. Take an experienced detective to give lectures to these students so they will know how things are being done. Take a field lawyer to teach these children and the people who have seen the things, because that is the only way that you're going to move forward. Because if you bring me a motivational speaker who does not have field experience, who did not suffer, who was employed when he was already a final year or a third year, yeah, maybe I can learn one thing or two. But I want somebody who understands the test of time to say, what did you do when things got tough? How did you transfer your skills? How did you transfer your negotiation skills that you have learned from business school, that you have learned from engineering school? How did you use your critical thinking skills to work in the banking sector if you're an engineer? You know, I was very impressed by looking at the financial sector from the central bank to also commercial banks. You realize to say when you start engaging with these people, you find a pure engineer who is at the corporate sector. And I say, come on, how did you get here? Person is say, it's about what you can do. It's not about what you have. They think sharper than the trained, qualified in that area. You find a lawyer in communication sharper than the trained in that area because the financial sector look at skills and upgrade them.